I hope your heart is stirred by the music here this morning. I know mine sure was. The phrase that stands out to me about what those folks just played, I want no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. You know, as we look ahead to this week, the next couple days, we're going to have a lot of fun. I love the fact that you all and the team captains and so on are really putting a lot into the team spirit side of things, and very excited about that. But what do you want to get out of this week? It's something, honestly, as I've been thinking about this chapel session, it's been something that's been running through my mind. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Bobby Bosler. I haven't been around up front a whole lot here the last couple of weeks. I recognize we got a lot of freshmen that you may not necessarily know who I am. Maybe you do. This is one thing that I run into. Folks, they'd say, I know your voice. Welcome to the Degeneration Podcast. And they're like, yeah, anyway, actually, it's kind of humbling in a certain sense. Many places where I've gone, and even the Special Forces team, and Dr. Jim, and Jana, and Ryan, we feel like wherever we go, we find there are pockets of folks that God is using the generation to impact. Actually, back in early May, I was with a pastor in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. And while we were there, we were waiting in line. He and I, we were going out to lunch. We were just taking some time just to chat about a bunch of stuff. And while we were waiting, he saw a group come in and he said, oh, I think I know them. And he walked up and they were kind of looking at him like they recognized him. And he walked up to them and said, yeah, I'm Pastor so-and-so. And this is my friend here, Bobby Bosler. And the girl in the group, she like let out a yelp. And she's like, Bobby Bosler, I listen to your podcast all the time. It's changed my life. And I think, well, praise the Lord. That's God. That's his working. And it's a humbling thing, young people, for God to use you. Because you know what? All of us, we know what we are made out of. We know our weaknesses. We know our deficiencies. And the fact that God, a holy God, would step down and use someone like me or someone like you, it's a humbling thing. Even as I was walking across the boardwalk from Greek class, it's a full day. I don't know who scheduled me here today, but there's a lot going on right now. But as I was walking across the boardwalk from Greek class, I was just thinking, God, I am not worthy to be used by you. And just the thought, again, the verse that was going through my mind is, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him. And you know, here this week, I want you just to recognize that I, as a speaker, as someone who's, yeah, sure, I'm running a lot of things, I'm in process just as much as the rest of you all are. God's growing me, teaching me, confronting me about things, rebuking me about things. He's doing a work in my heart. And I hope that as we head into this week, you will open up your heart to the things that God wants to speak to you about. In fact, as I've really meditated on this chapel session here today, part of me at first, when I saw my name on the schedule here today, I was thinking, I've got enough to do without preaching in chapel here right at the beginning. Like, seriously, what in the world? And yet, at the same time, as I really began to talk to the Lord about it and seek him, I felt the Lord was saying, no, I've got a very specific reason that I put you in this slot. I've got a very specific message that I need to get across to the students of Baptist College of Ministry to prepare them for this week. So if you could turn with me in your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. What I'm going to speak to you about is actually something I've spoken about a number of times across the country. Typically, when I give this burden and this message, I'm giving it at the front end of a revival meeting. Fellas, if you ever do a protracted meeting or a revival meeting where you're preaching a bunch of times and it's just you, right, in an extended period of several days, again, we've got three revival meetings coming up here during the nine-week block. That'll be fun to figure out how to do all of that. But one of the things that's challenging, especially if you start on a Sunday, is Sunday school. What do you do with Sunday school? Like the morning service, that's when everybody shows up. And that's the time to really kind of give like the theme and where you're going and the primary burden on your heart. But Sunday school, not everybody's there for Sunday school. What do you do with Sunday school? And as I've done a number of revival meetings over the last several years, I really have found this particular concept has been a blessing and a help to prepare the way to receive at times difficult preaching, at times hard subjects, things that are intended to confront you, which, by the way, that's what preaching is. We talked about that a couple weeks ago when we talked about a biblical philosophy of preaching. You're not going in there just to say everything everybody else has already said. You're not going in there just to agree with what everybody else says. Of course, we're going to agree if we're studying the same book and following the same spirit. But at the same time, the point is to figure out what's wrong, to let the Spirit of God show you what's wrong and to confront that wrong head on. And you know what happens sometimes, young men, when you confront what's wrong? People get confronted. And they get told they're wrong. And you know what I've found, at least in my own life? I don't like being told I'm wrong. Do you? I don't know if anybody likes being told they're wrong. It runs the risk of hurting people's feelings, making people feel bad. And yet, preaching is of necessity. It's confronting wrong so that it can be made right. And so how do you handle it, though, when you find yourself in a situation like that? I want to look at a passage of Scripture, because I think here we're going to see the heart of God, and we're also going to see what do you do when you realize there's something wrong. How do you process that information? James chapter 1, we're going to be looking at a few very familiar verses, but I got something specific that I want to draw out of these verses that I trust will be a help and a blessing and will prepare the way for this week. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Before I go any further, I've got to say this is James, the brother of Jesus here, who's writing. And it's interesting, he doesn't throw his credentials out there. He says he's a servant of God, okay, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he's a servant of his half-brother Jesus. So humble, the heart of James here. But to understand who he's writing to specifically, he's writing to the 12 tribes. Specifically, these would be Israelites, ethnic Jews here that he's writing. But it's interesting, he says the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And that's really important to understand this letter. He's writing to people who we believe were probably under his ministry at one point in Jerusalem. And yet, because of the difficulty of persecution and a variety of different circumstances, the folks who at one time were a part of his flock. This is Pastor James, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, right? These were his church members that through the providence of God and the circumstances of life were scattered all over. These people were displaced. These people, through God's working and God's moving, even through difficult things, through difficult circumstances, they found themselves in unfamiliar territory with unfamiliar people in unfamiliar circumstances, definitely feeling under it. How are they supposed to handle that? Of course, James here still has the pastor's heart. James here still wants to see these people who had been a part of his direct ministry and his flock. He wants to see these people succeed, which is why he's not just leaving them alone to figure it out for themselves. He is writing a letter to them because he wants to continue to try to shepherd them and help them move forward in their walk with God. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate pastors who want to see their people move forward. I appreciate mentors who genuinely do want to see people take steps of growth and steps of faith. And as we're going to see here in this text, this matter of experiencing the difficulties is one that does require a very specific kind of response in order to benefit from it. Verse number 2 here. Again, these are very familiar verses. You've probably heard dozens of sermons preached on this. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Again, this is not primarily my burden here, but I want to explain this. He's saying, hey, listen, when things get tough, when things go sideways, when difficulties enter into your personal life, into your family, when difficulties enter into your community, your region of the world, when difficulties come into your church, when they come into your classes, into your dorm room, here's the response I want you to have. Woohoo! Count it all joy. Rejoice. Praise God for it. And again, that's not an intuitive response, right? Normally when bad things happen, we do not go woo-hoo, we say, whoa boy. And yet here, God is saying, listen, when the hard things happen, when the diverse trials and temptations come into your life, I want you to consider it to be joy, okay? Count it to be joy. Now, how is that even possible? Oftentimes we look at things and we think there is no good in this. There is no whoop-de-doo in this situation or in these circumstances. There is no plus. There is no bright side. But if you understand God and if you understand how he works, there is always a plus and there is always a bright side. And here in verse 3, he tells us what it is, knowing this. Here's how you can be capable of considering these tough circumstances to be joy, to be awesome, to be amazing, because you know something. And here's the thing you need to know, that the trying of your faith works patience. In other words, when the hard things happen, you can shout hallelujah, glory to God, because God is working on you. God is developing your faith. We love to develop things around here, right? One of the things we're burdened about is to develop you. I've got Greek class, and I want to develop many of you into good linguists, into good students of the Greek New Testament or in Bible doctrines. One of my purposes is I want to develop you into someone who can think critically, not like negatively, but think critically. Actually use your brain and don't just assume things and take things for granted. I want to teach you to think more than I want to just give you a list of things you need to believe. Listen, whatever it is in our lives here in this school, we want to develop you. But I'll tell you what, no school can develop you like God's school can develop you. And the way God develops us is he makes things hard. He brings friction into our lives. Again, it says in the previous verse, there are diverse temptations. The friction can come from a variety of different sources. Sometimes the friction is you can't pay for your school bill. Sometimes the friction is your dorm roommate annoys the tar out of you, okay? I was going to say snot out of you, okay? But I just wanted to keep it collegiate level here. I'm used to preaching to teens. It could be all of a sudden you end up in the hospital in the ER. That could be what God's using to develop you. It could be the Bosler quiz or test that God's using to bring a trial and difficulty into your life. But listen, I will tell you, God's classroom is the best classroom. See, here's the thing. God knows what you need far better than I know what you need. God knows what you need far better than any professor knows what you need. God knows what you need far better than any parent knows what you need. God knows what you need better than any other human being on planet Earth knows what you need. And God has a way of custom designing a difficulty, a trial, a friction point, a difficulty just for you. And here's why, because God hates you. No. Because you just messed up and you're a dork. That's why. No. Because, you know, God's just kind of annoyed with you and just wants to, you know, kind of passive aggressively bring hard things into your life. No. God does it because he sees something in you that's incredibly valuable. Not only you, but your faith. And so God will put you in circumstances that are beyond your capacity. God will put you in difficult times and seasons. God will put you in situations where you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, you don't know how to handle things, you don't know how to read things. God will put you in situations where you just don't have what it takes to do what you're supposed to do. And when you find yourself in those situations, he's saying right here, Pastor James is saying, count it joy, consider it awesome. say, praise God, glory, hallelujah. This difficulty has come because God is literally working on taking my faith and elongating it, making it better than it was before, improving it, making it deeper, longer, stronger, better. If you understand that's what God's doing, if you really get that, then when the car accident happens, as much as it's hard, and we're all humans, we all have emotions. We all have disappointments and different kinds of expectations. That's human. But once you get your mind around the situation, once you get alone with God, you can truly look to the Lord and say, God, I have no idea what in the world you're doing, but this is awesome. Oh, listen, I don't have time to share my testimony over the last year and a half, but there have been plenty of times when I've been tempted to give up, throw in the towel, and walk away. But in those times, there have been awesome friends and other folks who've been around that we've been able to together just count it joy together and say, this is awesome. God's at work here. God's doing something. So I just want you to see this. Pastor James is concerned for these people who are being put in difficult situations, people that he loves, people that he wants to see succeed. And he says, count it to be amazing, awesome, joyful. God's at work here. Here's what he's working on specifically. He's working on your faith. He's making it better. That's a cause for rejoicing. But look at verse 4. He says, but let patience have her perfect work. Oftentimes when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we're tempted in our hearts to say, okay, you're working on my faith, so can you get to it now so we can move past this? Hey, I got it. I learned it. Lesson learned. Faith increased. Can you fix this now, please? Like, come on. Let's get through this thing. And sometimes it's easy to shortcut God, shortchange God, to run out of the situation before God has taught you the thing that he's trying to teach you. But I want you to notice something. God is not satisfied until he's done what he's doing. Look at the end of verse 4. Here's God's goal. Here's God's aim. Here's where God is taking us. Let patience have her perfect work. Don't escape. Don't run from it. Don't shortchange it. Don't shortcut it. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God does not bring difficulty into his children's lives because he's disappointed in them. He does not bring friction into the lives of his servants because he's upset. He does it because he wants to see you succeed all the way. Did you hear me? All the way. He wants to bring you through. Not just bring you halfway, bring you all the way. And once again, God's the only one who can bring us all the way. God's the only one who can see us all the way through. Like I said, his classroom is the best classroom. He knows you inside and out. He knows you backwards and forwards. He knows what you need. And God knows what the finish line looks for you. God knows what being perfect and entire looks like for you. And God wants to take you all the way to being fully mature, fully equipped, all that God wants you to be. His goal is awesome. When I bring students to travel with me on the war or the cola clash, stop calling me Arlington, Texas. I have this on Do Not Disturb. What in the world? Anyway, when I bring students along with me, I recognize that at the beginning of a summer, at the beginning of a tour, we're not going to do everything right. I get that. I recognize that at the beginning, I'm going to have team members that have certain immaturities, certain deficiencies. But I have in my mind where a well-functioning team needs to go. I have in my mind what a well-functioning team looks like. I have in my mind what the prayer meetings are like. I have in my mind what the recruiting looks like. I have in my mind what the crowds look like, what the event looks like, the results. And again, I can't know all the results. You leave that up to God. But at the same time, when I see my team, I know where they need to grow. I know where they need to develop. And honestly, for me, it is a joy and a privilege to get a bunch of raw recruits together on a team and to watch them make mistakes and to get to sit down and talk about it and work it through and help them succeed. I love just meditating back on the difference between a group of team members at the beginning of a tour and a group of team members at the end of a tour because, man, so much changed. And honestly, typically week 6, 7, 8, something like that, I feel like is when our teams really are clicking on 100% cylinders. And man, it's amazing. It's amazing before then, but it's even more amazing when you get to that point. Why do I say that? God knows where he's taking you. He's called you to something. He knows what you need to be ready for that calling. He knows exactly your character weaknesses. He knows exactly your emotional constitution. He knows exactly your intellectual capacity or lack thereof. He knows your background. He knows you better than anybody knows you. And God wants you to be complete and entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay, so if God's goal is for us to be complete, and if God is bringing difficulties into our lives to make us complete, then the difficulties are actually good. Are you following me? They are actually good. So don't get upset when things go nuts. Don't get upset when the friction takes place. Get excited. Okay. That's leading up to the burden here. That's the goal. Can I say this? That's the goal of this week. Listen, an event is never going to make you complete and perfect. In fact, no school will ever make you complete or perfect. No person can ever make you complete and perfect. We can sure help and try to get you as far down the football field as we can, but we can't do that for you. But God can. So here this week, I want to urge you, as you're seeking the Lord, seek him for what steps need to be taken in your life this week. You know what I get concerned about when I look at an event like this? We pool into so many of you students to help us as squad leaders and so on. I'm so concerned that we stop receiving in an event like this. We stop being recipients of the preaching. And what can happen sometimes is we come into an event like this and we're all about ministering, which you should be. But there's this mentality, there's this switch that can get flipped in your mind where you're so focused on giving and ministering and going for it and trying to be a blessing to other people that you stop listening for the things God has for you. Listen, I get this. I'm a preacher. I get this. I'm telling you, there are times when I'm standing up and I'm preaching, right? I'm literally the one that's up there blowing a bunch of hot air out, okay? I am the preaching, and there are times when I'm preaching and God says, yeah, that was for you. That thing that I just had you say, that was for you. So I'll see you at the invitation. Oh, man. But here's the thing. As you look forward to this week, recognize that whether it's a guest who's coming from somewhere else in our country to join us, yes, God wants to move them forward. Yes, God wants to use, if I could say it this way, the friction of preaching to show them where they lack so that they can grow. Are you following me? But God also wants to use the friction of preaching in your life this week too. So don't just view, listen, we've got to be a blessing. We've got to pour our lives into these young people. But listen, you're no better than any of them. Some of you were them last year, okay? What's the difference between last year and this year? You say, I'm a BCM student. Yeah, and a pretty rotten one too. I'm just kidding, okay? You need to grow. Just listen, I'm sure you made huge steps of faith between in the last year. I'm sure you made steps of growth. That's awesome, but never turn off your ability to hear and receive from the friction of God, whether that's through the circumstances of your life or through the preaching of the Word of God that jumps all over your toes. Don't ever stop keeping your heart open to the Lord. Keep listening, and when He speaks, you say, praise God, I'm going to see you at the altar, Lord. Be ready. God's goal is for us to be perfect and entire, wanting. And the idea of that word wanting is lacking nothing. God wants to make sure that you're deficient in nothing. That there's nothing that you are missing that you need to succeed in God's eyes and in God's kingdom. But look at the next verse. So God literally just got done saying, don't shortcut what I'm doing. Okay, because I'm trying to make you perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you, what's the next word? Ooh. Guess what? As much as God's goal is for you not to lack, experience tells us that we do. Right? I won't ask for a raise of hands of how many of you were lacking answers on your quizzes this morning. Some point during this week, you might be lacking energy, right? I sure know that by Saturday, I'm going to be burnt toast. That's going to be me. I'm going to be lacking. Again, honestly, coming into the chapel here today, I feel like I am lacking. But how do you handle it? How do you realize it? What do you do when you come up deficient? When you realize that you have lack in some area? Because the answer to that question will determine whether you get the supply for your lack. Okay. Here's what some people do. When they are confronted with a lack, they ignore it. Right? Meh. No big deal. Some personalities are more wired that way. Meh. If you're taking an outline, you can write M-E-H. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Meh. We're just generally unconcerned. We don't really care. It's not that big of a deal to us. Lacking. Again, obviously the context here indirectly, it talks about wisdom, but I just want you to see this. I don't think it's an accident that we have this contrast between God's goal is that we not lack and the next verse saying, if you lack. Sure, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, don't go meh. Okay? Don't go meh. And yet, honestly, I see people do it all the time. They just plow through life with no intentionality. They just let one day cascade down into the next and into the next and into the next. And they are floating through life with no idea what God wants them to do. There is no comprehension of the will of God. There is just next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. Don't be a meh Christian. If you lack wisdom, knowing what God wants you to do. Well, there's a response you need to make to that, and it's not just going meh. Okay, there's a bunch of other things you can lack. You can lack maturity. You can lack spiritual fortitude. You can lack knowledge. You can lack endurance. You can lack, it seems, the ability to resist that temptation. There's a bunch of things that we can lack. And generally, if we could describe our Christian lives, we could put a big old word there, lack, L-A-C-K. Hey, how do you want to describe my Christian experience? It's lack. I lack answers in Greek. I lack maturity in the dorm. I lack power in soul winning. I lack answers to prayer. Whatever it is that you lack, listen, that's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to lack. God wants you to lack nothing. So when you realize lack through a trial, perhaps, through the friction of life, when you realize lack through difficulty, situations we don't like, we would not have chosen, we did not foresee, we do not want. When we realize, when those circumstances reveal a lack in us, don't go meh. There's another way we can respond when we realize our lack, we deny it. There's no lack here. God, you know, I know you're trying, you know, it seems like you're trying to talk to me about that, but God, you got it all wrong. Sometimes this lack, we just live in a state of denial. preacher's preaching on something, right? And God is speaking. The Word of God is clearly being explained. And as you look at the Word and you look at what is being said and you look at whatever it is, the lack in your life, and the Spirit of God is trying to connect the text and the preaching or whatever it is to your lack, you can say, no lack here. Mm-mm. Nope. It's not me. And you can just walk away explaining away your lack. Don't do that. Don't do that. Or you can just humbly admit it. What do you do when you humbly admit it? Again, this is really the burden here in the last few minutes. If any of you lack, look at it. What are we supposed to do? Let him ask of God. What do you do when you lack? Do you cope? Do you run away to your phone? When you lack and feel like you've blown it, and you failed, or there's something wrong or deficient in your life, do you just tune it out with music? Do you just pretend like it isn't there and do everything you can to ignore it and sideline it? Or do you go to God with it? See, here's the thing. This is what I want us to see. Regardless of your lack, whether it's wisdom, power, fill in the blank. Whatever lack God's talking to you about here today, this verse says, let him ask of God. Go to God. Can I say this? Your lack qualifies you before God. I think many of you have been reading We Would See Jesus, right? The idea of God being the I am, the incomplete sentence, right? I am what? I am your banner. I am your provision. I am your righteousness, whatever it is that God is. In fact, he originally revealed himself, the book talks about, as I am that I am, kind of that cyclical concept. What am I? I am what I am, right? And that cyclical concept, that sentence is completed when what enters into the picture? Our need. I could phrase it a different way. Our lack. See, the very lack that you have, that the trials and difficulties reveal, the friction reveals, is the very thing that allows you to complete that statement, I am your whatever it is that you need. I am your power. I am your wisdom. I am your strength. And here's the thing, if we just run, if we ignore it, if we pretend like it's not there, we don't go to God. We don't go to him, and we do not get the sentence completed. We do not get our lack supplied. God's goal of letting us be perfect and entire becomes unrealized because we didn't take our lack to God. We did like Adam, and we ran and hid and covered it up. Did like Achan did and ran away and hid it in the underneath of his tent. We hide our lack instead of taking it to God. But listen, you'll never take it to God unless you think right about God. He says, let him ask of God. And then what it does is for the remainder of this verse, it gives a couple qualifiers about who God is and what he does. And I tell you, these qualifiers, all of them invite us to bring our lack to him with no shame. He says, that giveth to all. And I tell you, there's not a need in this room. There is not a need in this room that God wants to skip over. It doesn't matter whether you're a freshman or a seventh year senior here today, God wants to fill every lack in your life. It doesn't matter how backwards, how twisted up, how messed up your inner life might be. God wants to supply that lack. It doesn't matter how big of a mess you have made that nobody knows about. God wants to supply that lack. It doesn't matter how emotionally twisted up and frustrated you might feel. God wants to supply that lack. It doesn't matter how powerless you've been for years. God wants to supply that lack. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you lack, every single person who lacks, God wants to supply that lack. Let him ask of God who gives to all men and women too. All. So, doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your first language is. Doesn't matter your GPA. I mean, it does, but not for this. Doesn't matter what church you come from, what state you come from. Doesn't matter how smart or spacey you are. God wants to supply your lack. Every last one of you. There are no exceptions. He gives to all men. Notice the adverb here that he uses to describe this, that giveth to all men liberally. Liberally, just like a Democrat, right? Just kidding, sorry. Shouldn't bring politics into the pulpit here today. Just couldn't resist. The idea of this word liberally, we often think of this in terms of just generosity, right? But it's actually deeper than that. The word lack here is one that's used in a variety of different places throughout the New Testament. But I want to read what one commentator said. He said this, taken together, then the evidence suggests that James is not so much highlighting God's generosity in giving as his single, undivided intent to give us those gifts we need to please him. Jesus used the same word liberally, or at least a related word, in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, if thine eye be single, same word there. And the idea here is he's saying, listen, if we lack, if we find that we're deficient in some area, we need to take this to God. It doesn't matter who you are, God wants to supply. And let me tell you how he wants to supply, with a single-minded intention. If I can put it this way, God has a one-track mind when it comes to your lack. And that one-track mind is focused on this, supplying your lack. Supplying your lack. Another commentator put it this way, God gives with a single motive to further the welfare of the asker. He gives without ulterior motives, harboring no calculated desire to get something in return. Back when I traveled on one of the ensembles many years ago, I had a guy who was always thinking about marriage, and we kind of made a joke, little acronym, OTM, one-track-minded, but we also said that also meant only thinking of marriage, okay? And it seemed like everything he said, there was some way where what he said could be spun to be thinking about marriage. And we just had fun with it. We made fun of him. Thankfully, he's married today. But I don't know what he thinks about now. But anyway, in every interaction that God has with us, in every verse that he shows us in the Word, here's God's single-hearted devotion to supply your lack. All of you. So he gives with single-mindedness. And lastly, and I got to be done here, last phrase, he says, and upbraideth not. God doesn't rebuke you for coming to him with your lack. In fact, God isn't looking for reasons not to supply your need. Sometimes we think that God, sitting in heaven with a magnifying glass, trying to find some speck of sin, wrong, or slight offness about you and say, oh, I can completely disregard that request. But that's not my God. Oh, don't get me wrong, God's holy and he takes sin seriously. But when we come to God with humility and when we come to God coming up short, when we come to God not having what we need, when we come to God with some lack, something where we don't have what we need, we lack, again, whether it's wisdom, power, whatever it might be, whatever God's talking to you about, you can come to God without fear of rebuke, without fear of rejection, without fear of dismissal, without fear of being diminished in your importance. Listen, God's single-minded desire is to give you everything you need. And again, the last phrase, and it shall be given him. That's God's promise. You know, young people, I want you to know as you head into this week, I don't know what all the speakers are speaking on. I know what I'm speaking on tomorrow night, tonight. But I do know this. If the Spirit of God is in this event, which I believe he is, he's going to step all over you. And that's great. Because where he steps all over you about is where he wants to come in and supply and meet your need. When you realize you have need, don't dismiss it, don't argue. Go to God and say, God, here's where I'm at, here's where I'm weak, here's where I don't have what it takes. Would you supply my lack? I'm really just trying to get you to open your hearts to the Lord here this week. Open your spiritual ears. to what the Spirit of God is going to say to you here this week, because He wants you to be perfect and entire.